All right, so the next 4 weeks we're going to be teaching on team and playing team. And the first question we're going to ask, which I'm going to cover, is teamwork biblical, or what is team? And I think that is a very important question, because if it's not in the Bible, we certainly don't have faith for it. So I thought I'd just share quickly something of my own journey in team, because I think it's very significant. And I think the one thing I'll say just up front is we all believe in marriage, and yet the statistics in marriage is at like a 50% divorce rate, you know, and that's even in the church. I think the stats aren't that great. So we can believe in something, but we might not know how to do it. And similar with team, we can say, yes, we all believe in team, but do we actually know how to play team? And I think we need to ask that question, and we need to understand and think about it. But first of all, have a conviction, you know, is team something that God advocates? Is it something that we can find in the Bible? And if it is, then it's certainly something we should pursue, and I absolutely believe it is in the Bible. But my own journey with team, aside from playing, you know, various sports teams, which was always great and fun, and I think that is one of the benefits of a team sport, is you really do learn how to play team. And I've been involved in many teams where teams have done really well because they've played as a team. And I've seen, for example, at Stellenbosch, we had our first team hockey. I think 10 of the 11 guys were in the A and B Western Province side, and they were like towards the bottom of the league because they absolutely could not play as a team. They were so competitive with one another. And so I think that's some of my kind of sporting experience with team. But I've been, from a business space, involved in a team for 28 years, you know, leading a business with two friends who were university friends, and we really have enjoyed and seen the benefit of working as a team. We don't have anyone who's the boss. We rather submit to one another and recognize each other's gifts, and we have for 28 years made decisions, big decisions, around all kinds of things, you know, to run a business, and we've done that in team. And so for me, having that experience and then coming and reading the Bible for the last 12 years and then seeing a very similar pattern in the Bible really, really increased my faith that this is actually a grace of God to have not only seen it in the Bible, because again, you can look at things in the Bible and have a conviction about it, but actually say, yes, it's true, but I don't know how that really works. You know, or I've never really experienced it. But when you've actually experienced it and done it, and then you find in the Bible, you know, your faith for it just increases exponentially. So I would say the first thing about team is that God is a team, or more significantly, He's a family. You know, God reveals Himself as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it, you know, as we read the whole Bible, we see that. We see the Holy Spirit as a person. We see Jesus as a person. We see the Father is, you know, is a person. And so we have three persons in this family who mutually submit. And I think one of my favorite scriptures around that is, and it is the scripture that really is probably the most powerful vision in the Bible, is let us create man in our own image, you know. And there was this sense that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit said, okay, this is our plan. And they agreed with it together. And they each, as we see, had different roles in that plan. And Jesus said, I'm going to go, and we know that, you know, human beings are going to unfortunately do what the devil did. They're going to get tricked. I mean, they know, you know, they knew beforehand. Jesus said before the foundation of the world, he was slain. You know, the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. He knew. And Jesus right there kind of said, I'm going to go. And the Father had to let him, because for any father that would be, we would never do that. So there was this idea of a mutual submission, even in this Trinitarian team or family, where they said, okay, well, I'm going to go, and then we're going to have to send the Holy Spirit to be with us. And the Father will be behind the scenes orchestrating everything as He does sovereignly. And so I see that God ultimately is a team. And why is that significant? Because God is love. And love is not possible if there's not mutual submission. You need two people to actually be in a love story. You know, otherwise you're going to love yourself, which we know is not, you know, it's not even godly. And we just see in the Godhead is this dance of love, which is a submission to one another. We see the Holy Spirit as almost self-effacing. He's behind the scenes making a lot of Jesus. But we know Jesus goes and says, well, I only do what my Father does. And I only say what my Father says. So there's this beautiful submission with one another where they express their love in their self-sacrifice towards one another, you know, and making a lot about one another, living in a harmonious, beautiful relationship. And so God is love, and love is not possible, actually, if there's not a family. And that family is a team. It's the greatest team we know. And then we see the Bible story outwork itself, where it starts in a garden with Adam and Eve and Jesus. And the Bible moves from family to a bigger family to a nation. And as we go through that that journey, you know, there is a sense that, and then finishes with the church in the New Testament, we can actually see team pull through. And I think the first team is Adam and Eve in the garden with Jesus almost being the third person in a marriage. You know, it's Nikki and myself. We married, but we both submit to the Holy Spirit and the government of Christ to bring Christ into our marriage, and submitting to each other and recognizing one another's strengths and weaknesses, and then complementing one another in our strengths and weaknesses. And I mean, you guys know the story when that guy had a dream about Nikki Stewart sitting on my lap, you know, before we got married, and I had a full head of hair. And it was the sense when I heard that dream and I was praying about it that Nikki would compliment me. And I think that's such a beauty of team, is a wife, is a helper, is a complementary gift to me as I am to her with my strengths and weaknesses. And that's why team is so powerful. It's like God, even in the Godhead, there's different roles. How much more so in his church would there be different people with different roles and different responsibilities that gives value to them as well? You know, the fact that I can do some things better than Nikki and Nikki can do some things better than me just gives also a sense of real value. I really value your addition to me because I can't do that. I don't have that grace. Likewise, there's grace on my life. And that's expressed in team. And if a team doesn't value the gifts around, then it's not going to be a great functioning team. And if a team doesn't, and value is expressed in respect, it's expressed in an appreciation, it's expressed in a culture of honor, you know. And like I said in the beginning, you know, we had that really talented team in the hockey team, but there was no honor there. There was selfishness. It was gamesmanship, playing for yourself, never passing the ball. Likewise, in a team, you can play in a team and honor one another's gifts, celebrate one another in marriage, or you can actually just do the opposite. And not that we have a perfect, but that. And then we see in the Bible it moves from a marriage in the garden into a bigger family, and we see Abraham and Sarah going on an adventure together, and then that becomes a massive family with Jacob and his 12 sons. And as the family grows, so the leadership structure would need to change from a family into a nation, where we see Moses eventually leading them. Joseph obviously builds a nation, then Moses takes them and takes this nation into the inheritance. And then Moses has three. Interesting. And Moses has, their names are quite difficult to pronounce, but you can find them in the Bible. And we see then Moses has the 70, and we see that as the capacity needed to increase, so God needed to put his spirit in more people to enable those people to lead the nation. And remember, Moses said, I can't do this all myself. And his father-in-law says, now go and appoint 70 men full of wisdom that can help you make decisions. And so this nation progresses, and then we see, you know, David, and David has the three, Daniel has three, and then obviously Jesus has the three and the 12 and the 70. And so right through the Bible, and then we see eventually planting churches, and the elders lead the church. Yeah, there's a plurality of leadership. And so all through the Bible there's evidence that God wants to put a team in place, because he is a team. The most important reason he does that is because God is love, and love is not possible. If I often say this, if I was the only voice, or if I was a leader of this team in a way that I'm really the main guy, and I kind of got my way with everything, because, and that's really a fear and control type leadership style, which is unbiblical and is of the devil, because that's what he is, because that comes from a limited resource. It's like I need to control stuff because I'm relying on me, versus no, God is leading the church, the Holy Spirit leads the church, and therefore we trust and we are okay and we find him together. It's a more biblical way to trust God to actually do what God can. So what happens if you don't, why is a team so important in terms of the ministry and in terms of what we're trying to do? It's because what we see in the scriptures is God wants us to have a real relationship with him, and he wants us to grow up. And we don't grow up if we don't take responsibility. And we see throughout scripture that people don't want to grow up. People want somebody else to fight their battles for them. People are scared of change. People are scared of doing many things. And so what they said is, let's be like the other nations and let's appoint for us a king, because the king then can then go into battle. And the king can tell us what to do because we don't know what to do. We've never been able to learn how to think for ourselves. And so they said, please appoint our king. And God says, you know, give them a king, but they really, and he says, don't worry. And Samuel says, you know, they're rejecting, God says to Samuel, they're rejecting me, they're not rejecting you. And he gives them the grace of a king. But it's not really a grace to them, because what it does is it creates a disempowered people, where even as great a king as David was, and we can learn a lot from him, what actually happened to the people, we look at his own sons, is it created a fear-driven mentality where we start celebrating a man and his gift. And remember, and David was a type of Christ. So when we look back at David, he's a type of Christ, and David then still shows us he had the 3, the 30. So even in David's kingdom, he appointed a team, and he was a type of Christ. Many people will say, many people in the ministry will even think they're like a David, which is great. But remember, David was a type of Christ. And Christ, the real Christ who came, then appointed 3. And Jesus is now the king. And so we celebrate Jesus as our king. And that's, you know, that's, and then we play in a team together. So why is it important? Because it we want to empower people. And if we empower people by giving them the responsibility, if you have a person who is like a David amongst us in terms of I'm the king, Mark's the king, what that means is that you will just do what I want to do, and you won't do what God's telling you to do. If we lead like that, we don't create a culture in the church where they go to God and really hear from God. They have a stronger view that I need the pastor to pray for me because he's the anointed and appointed. And so what that does, why it's so significant to lead as a team, is because it creates an empowered priesthood. It creates an environment where people take ownership. And if every one of you here treats this church like you are the owner of this church, you've got shares in this church. If I had to bring a business angle to it, no one needs to tell you to tidy up here. No one needs to tell you to, you know, when we've got people coming on Sunday, because this is your home that you're inviting people to. You're inviting people to my home. And I need to make sure my home is looking great. So, you know, it's a big deal, this thing about team. It's not a small thing, and I'm so glad we're preaching about it. I could really talk a lot about this. I think the main points I've said, you know, and I think we just trust that whatever you do, you build with people, you know. If we go on mission, we go on mission together. We go 2x2, and I just think I think there's enough space for a captain of a team. We see that in the Bible. We see if we look through, you could argue that the father's potentially the captain of the Trinity. You could definitely David had a captain of the three, and we know it's quite obvious from Peter that Peter was probably the captain of the three of those guys. But there's no point having two other guys in that team if Peter got his own way. He definitely didn't get his own way. And we saw the Apostle Paul absolutely having a go at Peter and saying, listen, you know, you're teaching false teaching. You know, so there's a really strong sense that We keep each other accountable, as Christoph often keeps me accountable if I start going off on the Catholics, for example, and we sharpen one another in a team. And so it's so exciting that this at Citygate is a very real thing that is in process at the moment. It's been a privilege to be actually, as I say, we can talk about it from the Bible, but it's a huge thing to live it. And I've experienced people struggle with it sometimes. And the reason they struggle is people ultimately haven't been taught to think for themselves and sometimes find maybe the conflict a little bit uncomfortable. But actually, when there's love, fear goes. And when we love and respect each other, we're not worried about disagreeing with each other because we actually love each other. And that's such a powerful dynamic. You know, it's not a fear-driven dynamic. It's a faith-driven. So that's a nice intro to team. Yeah.